Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, you. Welcome back to the You Podcast. That is You, a show on Netflix about murder and death and gore that we cover very keenly, I would say, with a lot of interest. I can't do this by myself because if I did, I might just be JJ inventing a human being. So I have my lovely and talented co-host here with me, the magnificent Marissa Garza. Marissa, how are you?
Are you sure it's me and not a voice inside your head?
Nope. Actually, we think so alike sometimes, and I'm really not sure that that isn't the case.
LaTanya, we're back.
We did it. We waited a month.
We made it a month. We're back in the game.
Yes.
Part two, episode one, otherwise known as episode six.
Yes, seriously.
Is out. And
it got so little fanfare that when I watched it this morning, and it was like, you know, around 11 a.m. Central, they hadn't even put up new episodes available tag on there yet.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
I did notice the graphics on Netflix changed. Like it's like it looked like a Rorschach test.
Oh, maybe
type of thing.
Okay.
But I did not see new episodes. I just was like, go, go, click, 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 go, go, yeah. Go.
And when you went, click, 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 go, go, go'd, how was that for you?
The clicking and the going or the watching?
The watching.
The watching was good.
Okay.
It was nice, you know, to have my brain remember who some of these people were. It was nice to kind of see, you know, we've spent the last, 3 weeks kind of theorizing in terms of what the show is doing, where the show is going. And it was nice to see that, like, some stuff was going the way we thought, some stuff wasn't, which is, I think, what we would hope for as a viewer.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued again. I mean, like, we have to finish. I mean, we have to do the podcast and give our best podcasting.
Sure.
But then it's back to the click, click, go, go for me.
I decided to be with you in sync today.
You're tearing up my heart.
When I'm with you, I really only watched this first episode, so season 4, episode 6, because I didn't want to move ahead without you, Marissa. But I am going to pop it like it's hot when it comes to popping these things on my TV today. Yeah. I cannot wait to see what happens in this topsy-turvy season. If you all would like to follow along with us here at the You Podcast, then we have our own feed where you can do that. It's called postshowrecaps.com/youpodcast. So please go to there and click a click a click a tap a tap a tap a. And it's probably only one click or tap. But then you can be best friends with us. You can be the best of friends with Marissa and I, which is also the title of this episode, Best of Friends.
Oh, yes. Join our exclusive club.
Yes. Marissa, which one of us has the erotomania?
in this relationship.
Isn't it? Thinking about a form of delusional disorder in which an individual believes that another person, usually of higher status, is in love with them. I would say, you know, there are some days that I think Pedro Pascal just loves me.
He does, though.
He really does.
Like, if we ever met him, he'd be like, I love you, and right. I would believe him.
And he would comment the color of my nails and tell me that my nails accent my eyes, and yes. That's how it would be, and that's how life is. And so sometimes I think I might have a touch of the erotomania.
I wish it had a different name.
I know. A touch of the ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Yeah. The ba-da-bas.
Yeah.
The phenomena. So let's get into the episode, shall
we? Let's do it.
All right. So this episode opens with Reese, who is giving a stump speech for his candidacy for the mayor of London Town. And this is the first scene that we see Reese interacting with other human beings that aren't Joe or JJ, as we've been calling him all season, because his name is Joe, Jonathan, John, Joe.
Schmidt. Yep.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah, it was interesting because one, I still can't believe this guy's running for mayor. Like, It still doesn't make sense to me. But there is a point where, like, Joe JJ is there stalking. He's in his stalking uniform.
He is.
He's because the cap is back. Yeah, the U in this is Reese at this point.
Right. That's
who U is. And so he's out there stalking Reese. And there's a point where Reese walks past Joe. And it's like either he's doing a real good job of faking that Joe's not there, or he genuinely doesn't see Joe. And I know that the relationship between Joe and Reese, whether they are one and the same or if they are two different people, is definitely something I think the show wants us to be thinking, especially with this type of interaction.
Yeah. And the fact that later on we see JJ taking some very intense notes left-handedly.
I noted that too. I was like, he's left-handed.
Yeah. I know. I noticed that. My grandmother always said that left-handed men are more attractive. Ooh. Just like because that's a trait that they have. I don't know what her thing was, but she loved a left-handed man. Still does.
Don't question.
She's still alive. I won't
question. Don't question Granny.
I never do. he was listening to some podcasts like we do and feverishly taking notes about everything about Reese. So, we noticed that the unnamed woman who's been around in different areas and taking pictures manages to take a picture of Joe while he's in his stalking uniform. So,
she's been around. Like, she's been in the paparazzi wagon, whatever we call those things.
Paparazzi wagon. around
during like the opening of the club or at the art show, and she's always there, and she's always got this like she's given some stink eye, some side eye. You know, we do find out later in this episode what's up with her, so I'm glad that happened. I was like, oh, you're here, oh, something's going on.
So like we just said, JJ starts looking for info on how to break into Reese's apartment,
as one does.
It's just a general thing that you do. And it turns out there's way too many cameras, way too much security. I mean, really, all of London is just CCTV central. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anyone gets away with anything, like, I don't know, throwing body parts to the Thames without being caught on so many cameras. But there you go. Happens to overhear while he's in his office. Kate is waiting at Malcolm's old office for someone to open the door, and Roald is there because just to piss me off. And he overhears Kate and Roald talking, and Roald asked Kate to come to St. Bart's with him. But she says that she's not scared of the killer, and she also has a fundraiser coming up.
It turns out she started a foundation for artists or somehow connected to Simon. She's throwing an event. She's throwing a fancy event. And Roald is like, cool, I got so much money. Let's just leave and wait out the killer. And then you can come back and have your event. And Kate's like, you don't understand. This is my work.
Yeah.
This is what I have to do.
This is what I do. I'm art.
Do you think Roald actually left?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my hope anyway, frankly.
It's fair. It's
that
fair.
He just went away because he's not really adding anything to anyone in this show. I'm going to tell you what. I honestly had forgotten all of these characters' names in the break that we had between seasons part one and part two, which is just goes to show how little development they've got in part one. And that's pretty telling, don't you think?
Do you also think it might have to do with the plethora of television we are all watching at this moment in time? I mean, I think you have a point. Yeah, like none of these characters said something like super memorable or something that really got me to care about. Like the one that I care about the most is JJ. And what does that mean? Granted, we've been watching him for four seasons. There's definitely some longevity there. I guess out of the new people, I guess I understand Kate the most.
Right.
But yeah, between that and like trying to track all of the other TV that's happening on right now or we are preparing for exactly. in the future, it is a little overwhelming to remember everyone's names.
It definitely is. And I bring that up because I had to look up Adam's name. I was going to call him Lucas, but that's just the name of the actor. So that's probably not his name in the show. Adam is his name. He's still in money trouble. So he's kind of, but he's also thinking of proposing to Lady Phoebe because maybe it's possible that he's in love with her, but it's also possible that her money will solve all of his money problems.
Maybe it's possible that he's in love with her. Maybe, possibly, could be. Don't think so. Just wants her money.
And you don't think a single part of him is like even a little bit enamored of her and like
no
okay,
mainly because of an interaction that happens a little bit later in the episode, like when he tells Joe like, hey, she really values your opinion, just to, like, tell him we made up and all this stuff and like do all, like he is very motivated after this conversation he has with this diamond man.
Yes.
Like to make the proposal happen.
The man who's basically like, I can get you a diamond. And if she says yes, then you can keep everything. But if she says no, I get all your cars and the diamond.
And we haven't seen Adam be motivated pretty much for anything.
No, except for getting urinated on.
Yeah. I forgot about that. But yeah. I mean, that's why I think he may be infatuated. I think he may be in lust with her, but I don't know if he is in love with her.
Yeah, that's
fair. And especially in a way that like Lady Phoebe knows she wants and deserves.
That's true. Lady Phoebe, especially after this episode, like this character really, really grew on me.
Yeah, she's got some depth to her.
Yeah. So she has been saying, starts off by saying to Adam that she's feeling uneasy because she feels like she's being followed.
Yeah, this was kind of an interesting interaction and story to kind of see play out because she says, hey, I think I'm being followed. Adam's like, yeah, whatever. Again,
right?
If you love someone, are you going to yeah, whatever that? I don't know. But the fact that like women have to tell people things so many times before they're believed really stood out to me in this episode because she tells like multiple people and like, I think Joe believes...
Joe is the only... Like, Joe actually says, well, if she feels like she's being followed, then I believe her.
Yeah, well, and I mean, who better to know than someone who's followed many a people?
Yeah.
But it was really... Like, I felt for Lady Phoebe here, and it made me think of millions of women who have probably said, hey, something feels wrong.
Yes.
And have been gaslit or ignored
out
of safety. Basically,
if you're looking for a great new movie on exactly that subject, you might want to check out the movie Watcher, which stars Micah Monroe, and it is one of the most underrated horror movies of 2022 in my opinion. So Nadia shows up because it's office hours and JJ has just been so taken up with trying to figure out all things Reese that he's completely forgotten that he is posing as a professor and has to do his job. And Nadia even notices what podcast he's listening to. And she's like, it's okay. Like, we're all a little bit obsessed, honestly. And then she reveals that that Reese tends to go for a morning jog around Regent's Park.
How does she know?
She said a friend saw him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nadia knows things.
Nadia knows too many things.
Yeah, I'm still a little sus on her.
Yeah.
She just seems to have the right information at the right time. And I'm not saying that there aren't smart and intelligent people in this world, but it's a little too convenient for the story, at least, for her to have all of that information.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I don't know. I wonder if she knew what she was doing here.
Yeah. And maybe planting some things, planting some seeds that she hopes to see blossom later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. It doesn't matter, though, because when Joe shows up to his apartment, Reese is there.
Okay, what did you think about this? Like, this, okay, this, I think, goes one in the column for they're the same person.
Right.
But also goes in the, oh my gosh, they're creepy, weird people anyway.
Yeah. I know, because I don't like the, when you live in a council estate, you learn how to pick locks.
Yeah.
It's just like, I lived in the projects growing up and I don't have a lock picking kit. What are you talking about? Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. This, the more he brings up council estate, the more I think it's not true.
Yeah. He says council estate so many times in this episode.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was creepy that he was there. I thought it was intriguing that he was there. I thought Joe's response to him being there was a little interesting. But I don't know. I don't know if I trust that it's really him. I don't know. It's throwing me for a loop as a viewer in the situation. I would not like it if he was in my apartment when I came home. I'll tell you that much.
No, that's creepy AF. Like, when I walk into my apartment, I don't want to be greeted by anything except the subtle scent of the like, you know, air freshener I have and maybe some laundry.
The thing is, the show already has me closing my blinds, even though as we are recording, it is getting dark outside and my blinds are currently
blinds
open.
Are wide open.
But it has me very blind conscious.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to be like knocking on my own door. Like, hey, hey, anybody?
Hello? Anyone there? Because you can't say hello because hello is what everyone says in a horror movie before they get murdered.
Oh, yeah. I'll start with goodbye. Goodbye. Yeah.
I've actually been that person. In a hospital room, like I've been in the bathroom and like heard the door open and close, and I'll come out and be like, hello. And I'm like, what are you doing? No. You're gonna die first anyway.
It's a nope.
Yeah, it's a big old nope. So Reese says he just wants a friend.
That's all he wants.
He just wants a friend who shares his interests and relates to why he's killing people. And apparently the reason that he's doing this is because they are all people who would ruin his campaign in some way.
Yeah, he says that like Malcolm was blackmailing him for gambling. So that refers back to that book that we saw.
Yeah, the little black book.
Yeah. Simon's women's exploration and exploitation was gonna break and he couldn't be associated with that. I mean, that I felt was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Gemma is someone he had a drunken shag or four with when he was still married. So these are his justifications for this. And he's like, hey, Joe, I care about you. If I weren't rooting for you, don't you think you'd already be dead? Like, he's doing, like, he's given Joe all his own medicine in a way.
Yes.
But not in the same, like, expert way that Joe has done it in the past.
No. But he's keeping a lot of body parts.
Oh, yeah.
Just for a rainy day.
And he's also like using the cycle, like he's telling Joe, like, it's so disappointing when you don't live up to your strengths. And when he said that, you could see Joe's face just kind of like
clench.
Fall. Like, it was like, I think like that's one of Joe's like core traumas or something. Like it got to him at that level where he was just like, why? Like, but first of all, like, who are you to like try to please Reese anyway? Like, what you know, like, that to me is the more interesting question. But yeah, this is not, Joe just doesn't want a friend.
No, not one of these friends, not a friend like this. Reese asks for Joe to find someone to frame for all this.
Or it's going to be him.
Or it's going to be JJ that goes down for everything. What do you think about this as like a plot device, Marissa? Like, look amongst your quote unquote circle of quote unquote friends and find someone to frame for them all of the murder.
I mean, I think it works in a murder mystery. I don't know if it's working for me so much in the show, mainly because like Joe and Reese haven't had any interaction. Mm-hmm. Like the tie between them is just like Reese is a threat to Joe. There's not like, and they see each other as like equals, I guess, but it's all from Reese's perspective. I really don't have any idea other than the fact that Joe wants to stop Reese because Reese is in his way. I don't have any idea in terms of how Joe feels about Reese. So when Reese is like, hey, find somebody in your circle of friends to do this for me, I mean, other than self-survival, I don't see any motivations for Joe.
Yeah, and it works in a murder mystery because that's the part of the murder mystery where you think that things have been wrapped up in a neat little package and you don't yet know the actual killer.
Right.
But in this case, we have all of the facts, essentially.
We have a murder.
Enough.
We have motive for every victim.
Yep.
And so it's like a little misplaced for me. Like it does give Joe something to do that's very Joe-like, you know, how to plant evidence, how to go about, and it gives him a conflict of weighing his new self with his old self. So in that way, it's interesting. It's just like 30 minutes of interesting. It's
right. So let's come at it a different way. If Joe is suffering from erotomania, mm-hmm. and the target of his erotomania is Reese, then do you think that he would have done all of the evidence collecting to find out that these people could hurt Reese in some way, and therefore he's taking them out for Reese? See, now I'm thinking like a writer.
Yeah, now, yeah. When's your book coming out? I mean, I think that could be the motivation. If that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So we move on. It's charity events almost time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's meeting up at the bar, at the fake club, mm-hmm. The fake Soho house. And the mysterious woman who's been taking the pictures of JJ and others has now gotten a job as a server at the charity event. Suspicious.
She's getting a little aggressive.
A little bit.
Getting closer
to someone. I wonder who. Thankfully for us, Lady Phoebe and Joe go through all of the possible suspects for us.
Yeah, I mean, Lady Phoebe really trusts Joe. It's really an interesting, you know, speaking of erotomania, I wonder if like Phoebe feels like Joe, like, I don't know. I think like there might be, Phoebe might have feelings for Joe just in terms of the fact that he keeps being put on this hero status.
She definitely does, because she tried to seduce him at the house.
Yeah, at the house. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I mean, so they have that little conversation, they go through all the suspects, and just in time for someone new to show up.
Yeah. Introducing everyone, Nico Leandros, a completely different character I don't care about.
Yeah.
He is a shipping heir, apparently. Mm-hmm. Who, because all the Greeks are shipping heirs in British television, who seems to have an interest in Kate.
Yeah, so I get the feeling that they go a little far back.
Yeah.
And Nico's family situation is very similar to Kate's situation, where they're a very well-known family and he's trying to break out and do his own thing. So he kind of uses that story to try and get in Kate's good graces and other places before the art show. But Kate is, you know, very dedicated to making sure this event goes off well. And so she kind of pushes them off for now.
Yeah. So Connie is kind of the subject. Nope. Yeah, exactly. When I tell you that I felt like I have never seen this man before in my entire life, and suddenly he was the subject that Joe was taking out to lunch to frame for all the murders, I was like, When was he around?
Okay, so remember at the house, the murder party or whatever?
Nope. Yeah, no,
there was this guy. Yeah, there was this guy who looked like Connie, but not beat up. And he was like lying on the couch by the window while Roald was saying he's going to go hunt peasants and all of the stuff. He was there. I don't remember him before that murder party house. Uh-uh. But he was definitely there at that time. So yes, it appears as though he is going to be the subject of Joe's framing.
Yeah. During a truly pathetic lunch, JJ gets a text reading, check your freezer when you get home. And when he does that, he goes and checks his freezer and he finds an ear with an earring in it.
Why?
Charming. Why? Charming. Yeah. Also, okay. That looks whatever that freezer safe container was. I want a bunch of those for
it
my
was
house.
Fancy.
It was really
fancy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Looking more at the Tupperware than I was at the ear that was in it.
Do you hear, product placement did well there?
Yeah, they did a good job. I want those now. I got to figure out which ones they are. Time for a charity event.
Okay, let's go.
Let's do it. Nadia and Edward are there.
Remember Edward from I think it was the first episode or whatever. I did like that. Joe was called that it. From day one.
Yeah, that was kind of cute. They're dating. They're together at this event because Edward is trying to become more cultured. And so, of course, he's a college student who's at a fancy art gallery.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's totally a thing I did when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
But also, Nadia's really surprised to see Joe here. And this, seemed, again, a little misplaced because she knows he knew Malcolm. And she knows about Kate, and this is Kate's event, so it's not out of the realm of possibilities that Joe would be here, because she's all you're rich? You owe, you're gonna buy
you're
some
clearly
art?
Clearly you're not rich, because you continue to wear these clothes. The amount of people that dunk on Joe's looks throughout this season, I applaud them, because honestly, dude, you're making an Oxford salary. Go out and get yourself some freaking clothes. Tell Lady Phoebe that you need a new wardrobe and go to a gifting suite. What are you doing?
You know who Phoebe reminds me of? Keely from Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
I can see that them being very good friends, actually. Yeah. Actual friends.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I love Kate's cobalt blue eye look.
She
at
went
the
in
charity
for
event.
It. Yeah.
She went all in. And I was there. I was living for it. Not nearly enough people can pull off the cobalt blue eye, but she was doing it and it looked great. So Kate tells JJ, because he's kind of said, I can't be with you. My past, my terrible past. And now he's showed up at her event and she's you're kind of giving me mixed messages.
Good for you, Kate. Call it out.
Call it when you see it. And she asks him if he really knows what he wants. And then she just leaves. And I'm a fan. Frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. I was let me note this down.
Yeah, seriously.
Let me take some notes for the playbook, because that was good.
It was well done. And she was also wearing a nice fancy dress. So whenever you can get a good dig in on someone and then walk away fabulously, chef's kiss.
I believe that's when this a sachet comes into play.
Oh,
you know,
it's is Shantae, you stay.
Yeah. Yes,
only
exactly.
You leave.
Except for, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, apparently JJ does really want to be with Kate, but he's too busy right now trying to frame Connie, person that I can completely remember from part one.
Connie's just sitting on the couch again. Couches. This dude, he loves couches. He's sleeping.
And he's completely sober because, as we learned, his maid quit so that she would not have to give him bum cocaine.
I mean, more
a bum
bum.
I just hate knowing this exists.
Knowing what exists?
A bum bump.
Yeah, it's not the, it, you know, yeah.
We'll move on. So apparently he's like, oh, hey, Jonathan, Phoebe was totally right. You are the best at talking. I'm going to rehab tomorrow.
Why? I mean, I guess that's part of JJ's charisma and allure, and I guess answers the questions in terms of like how he was able to do all of the things in the previous seasons. But like the fact that people find him such a great listener and just want to open up their souls to him is really interesting to me this season.
I mean, like we've seen when made fun of kind of the fact that Joe's inner monologue takes up most of his time on screen. Yes. And so mostly he is there just being silent and looking in someone's general direction. So I guess you can mistake that for listening.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So he feels bad, JJ does, about framing Connie because he's trying to make his life better. And so, you know, he decides not to do this. This is when the mystery woman who was taking pictures before as part of the paparazzi and now is a part of the server staff, comes up to Lady Phoebe and says, the police need to speak to you right away. And Nadia witnesses all of this as she's trying to get a selfie with Lady Phoebe.
Yeah, because earlier in the night, Nadia had gone up to Joe and was like, oh my gosh, you know Lady Phoebe? Can I get a selfie? And Joe's like, I'm kind of busy. He's really busy. I'm kind of busy. I can't do this right now. But maybe later.
Yeah, you can go do it. She's actually really nice.
Yeah, like, go talk to her. But Phoebe's like genuinely concerned for her safety because she's still talking about feeling like she's being watched. This is when she tells Joe that, you know, she feels like she's being watched. And so when someone comes up to her dressed in the uniform of the club and says, hey, you know, the police need to talk to you, I'm going to take you to safety, she's all in. Like, she's like, listen, I got to go. She does want to stop and give Nadia the selfie.
The selfie,
This is the big, you know, thing for her. She wasn't going to turn away. And I think Mystery Woman knew that.
Yes. Mystery Woman kidnaps Phoebe and falsely imprisons her.
Okay, I just have to say. Yeah, so she takes her to a hotel room and puts a lock on it. And I was like, oh, cage.
Yeah. We still have not seen the cage, everyone.
No,
we are in episode 6 of this season, and there is not a cage to be found.
Okay, so do we need the cage? Is that what the okay? And why do you need the cage?
Well, part of me loves how it's put together. I just, it looks like a neat little place to stash things.
An engineering feat.
It's an engineering marvel. And also it, you know, it signifies Joe in a jam, and normally it's pretty entertaining to watch him try to get himself out of those jams.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it was interesting about this makeshift cage like situation is that it wasn't made by Joe. Joe does get involved at some point. But his interaction with the cage this time was a little different than what we're used to.
Yeah, just a little bit different. And we will get into that right after this break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So, this woman claims to be Phoebe's friend, her best friend, when she gets her into this room where she's falsely imprisoned her with this lock. And she's going to take care of her and make sure that she is not murdered by the Eat the Rich killer.
Yeah. she's a stalker.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little concerning. She's like, hey, yo, I'm your best friend. Don't you know me from like way back? But Phoebe's like, what? And then she whips out this like tattoo situation where it was like, hey, we have matching tattoos. What happened to yours? So I do start to feel, you know, bad for her. We do find out this this woman is her name is Dawn.
Yes.
And Dawn knows a lot of stuff. Like she's been in all the places. She has been tracking Lady Phoebe's safety. So there is, you know, some compassion I can give her that way. But I do feel like this was the most like tense I've been watching the show in a while.
Yeah. So Dawn, this mystery woman, and Dawn is played by Allison Pargeter.
From EastEnders,
where she played a stalker, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just keep it coming. She keeps telling Lady Phoebe, like, they're best friends. They even have this matching tattoo. And she looks at Phoebe's arm, and Phoebe's like, what are you saying about? There's no matching tattoo situation. Dawn also divulges the news to Lady Phoebe that Adam is not looking out for her best interest at all, that he's actually broke and using Lady Phoebe as his meal ticket.
Yeah, this is some real like women helping women situation.
Yeah,
like regardless of the motivation here, you know, Dawn does do Lady Phoebe a solid by telling her.
Yeah, by telling her this. Now, this was interesting because, you know, Nadia is the one who kind of like tells JJ, you know, the police took Lady Phoebe away, and JJ's like, no, the police are right there. And she like tells her like what the woman looked like. And she was like, where would you take someone if you knew that there were cameras everywhere and people would assume you would have left? And Joe immediately is like, well, I would take her to the nearest place, probably somewhere in the building, and probably someplace that doesn't have any like adjoining rooms. And
yeah, I'm like, what? I wouldn't go outside because people will find me. And then I would go inside to like a room that has no adjoining like doors to it. And
so
it,
no one
has,
can hear you scream.
Yes. Yeah, and I was like, Why are you
saying this out loud?
What are you doing? But, you know, I mean, this might be what, you know, tips off Nadia. You know, she does have some suspicions later on in the episode, but we don't see it at this time. But Nadia does kind of like follow at a distance as JJ like goes to, he knows exactly where she is.
Where she would be. So he finds the room. He at first says that he's maintenance, but then Lady Phoebe convinces Dawn that JJ could also possibly be killed by the Eat the Rich killer. So they have to let him in.
Yeah, this was like a really well done by Phoebe. She knew what to say. She knew what Dawn needed to hear. She knew that she could communicate with JJ on the other side of the door, and JJ could pick up on the clues and, you know, really come to her aid at this point. So bravo, Phoebe.
Yeah, Phoebe's really smart in this situation and manages to get herself out of it unscathed. Relatively, I mean, obviously there's the PTSD that's associated with being kidnapped.
Because also during this interaction, Dawn was like, oh, your tattoo came off? Well, we can just give you another one with this butcher knife.
Yeah, it'll be fine. What? It doesn't matter if it doesn't match completely. It's just the idea that matters. It's like, now this woman who is holding me hostage has a knife.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, Phoebe at the end of it was able to handle that situation fairly well as well. So I don't know, maybe she had some, like, maybe Vic, was that the guy's name who died? The security dude gave her some training.
Sure. Maybe maybe Lady Phoebe had just had enough.
That too.
She went full Jennifer Lopez. So during the confusion with, like, relocking the door and everything, it turns out, because the cops being led by Nadia to this room because they don't know how to do their job, as we've learned in every season of every television show ever, the cops are useless. So they break down this door, they start searching Dawn's things, and somehow JJ managed to slip the ear into Dawn's bag to frame Dawn.
Mission accomplished.
Question mark?
Yeah. This was like the most you, like vintage you we saw.
For sure.
So far this season.
Yeah. And then Lady Phoebe is talking to Adam and she's like, look at essentially JJ is the hero again.
Yeah, because Adam comes in with his pointy shoulder like suit. It was very pointy. Anywho, he comes in and he's like, oh, don't worry, it's gonna be okay. And she's like, do you not understand that I just totally handled this entire situation?
Yeah.
And Jonathan was here before you, so I don't want anything to do with you. Yeah. At this point.
Can you go away now?
Yeah. Take your pointy shoulders and go.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, like people have pointy shoulders, but like your fake pointy shoulders.
Your fake pointy shoulders. Yeah. For whatever reason, fashion has decided to go full 90s and they're bringing back shoulder pads. And there are some things that are from the 90s that are great. Bring them back, I guess. But shoulder pads need to stay where they were. Okay?
I mean, sometimes the ventilation.
The only person I've ever seen convincingly pull off this look is Zendaya, who is like a hanger. She's a hanger. She can wear literally anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a look for everyone.
No.
That is for sure.
Certainly not for Adam in this particular instance. So, all right. Nadia is noticing as JJ is now like kind of big man on campus. He is being reported, you know, as like being the hero again. And Nadia is like, notices that JJ might know more than he is letting on.
Well, she does hear, yeah, she hears Phoebe call him a hero again, being mm-hmm. the key word there. And this kind of sparks Nadia's mind to be like, okay, well, first again though, Nadia, did you not know that they were hanging out together? Because the whole Malcolm Cade thing, like, I still don't understand that. But anyway, putting that to the side, she wants to know, like, in what other capacity was Joe a hero to Lady Phoebe? And mm-hmm. I think she picked up on the how Joe found Phoebe so quickly part of it as well.
Yeah, for sure. So Adam has this whole spread in the park. Mm-hmm. It's very beautifully set up. I'm sure he didn't set it up, but whoever did a great job. Mm-hmm. And he proposes to Phoebe. But now that she's equipped with the knowledge of Adam's money problems, she essentially tells him to sort out his stuff and come back to her then, and then she'll know that he really means it.
Okay, first of all, bravo, Phoebe. Like, that was a great answer. Second of all,
great Phoebe episode.
Yeah. Second of all, this proposal was crap. Like, hi, like, let me set up this fancy thing. It's like, hey, babe, sit down here. And then just open this box. And then, will you marry me? Like, there's nothing. If he really loved her, there would be more than just like this material. And he's like, I booked a jet to some
place where they met,
which, okay, that's a sweet gesture. But again, it's like all of these gestures and nothing like emotional coming from him. So I still don't believe that he really loves her, but also do better.
Yeah. Do way better.
I'm not saying that like the spread was good.
The spread looked great.
It was all
good. It was a lot for two people,
but at the same time, don't have her like open the box.
Yeah, take the cloche off of the freaking like plate, and here's your engagement ring. And it wasn't even Tiffany's.
Yeah,
you know, like I mean, it was
probably something much better. Because...
Yeah, that's very true. Hopefully, it was conflict free. I just have a very specific idea of what I want my proposal to look like, and I hope it involves a blue box. No, not really. No. Okay, I mean, if it did happen in that way, then I wouldn't be upset about it. But, you know, I'm not a fan of outside venues. I think that anyone who knows me well enough to propose to me would know that.
It's fair.
But that's fine. Fair. So it turns out that Nico, remember him? The shipping
Yeah, because Nico had like made his moves during the event with Kate, and Kate was like, not now, come to my house with the glitter and bring wine. And so Nico shows up and they're like going at or whatever, and then his phone rings and it's Kate's dad,
right? Because Nico is working for Kate's father, and he even calls her Catherine. And he's been lying to her this whole time. He's just there to kind of keep tabs on Kate.
Yeah.
And the whole art buy that he did was really financed by her dad so that she could let her quote unquote little foundation flourish.
And she hates this because this is the manipulation she has been putting up with her entire life.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to play this game anymore. And she thought that Nico knew and understood this. Mm-hmm. And so she again is disappointed by men. And she, you know, is really just trying to get away from her family.
Yeah.
So she continues drinking. Good for her for keeping the wine, but she
very
promptly kicks this dude out. And again, well done. Bravo.
It looked like a nice bottle, so I'm going to keep the wine.
Those glasses, like, remember Olivia Pope's glasses on Scandal?
Yes. they are my dream glasses. Because all that woman ever did was eat popcorn and drink wine.
Yeah, I mean.
And it can talk about Gettysburg.
Okay, I really kind of want to go to Gettysburg, but anywho, that's the history nerd in me. But yes, her glasses were giving Olivia Pope some competition, I think.
Yeah, those were nice glasses. So JJ, of course, witnesses this whole thing.
Okay, just like standing out the window, and she knows, like, she goes and she turns, and then it's like, oh, I guess I should just go over. Like, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
It was just like, he doesn't even try to hide it. He's just like, yes, I am here watching you.
Yeah. So he comes over to Kate's, and JJ tells Kate that he has a past, and Kate says, I have one too. But she'll never ask him his name or who he is or what he's done. But as long as they're honest with each other from here forward, then everything is fine. And they think it's all okay, and they agree, and they kiss, and more things.
Yeah, the makeout sesh does start. You know, okay, avoiding the past is not necessarily the best way to go forward in life, but if this is what you got, this is what you got, and sometimes this is what you have to do before you really face that past. So okay, fine.
Sure.
I think this is not gonna last very long at all, because I get you.
There's only 4 episodes left.
Like, I get it. You want to, like, forget who you were before. You want to forget who Catherine Thompson was, or, you know,
whatever,
like, you
want to forget this.
But that is much different than Joe wanting to forget that he was an abused young child who turned into a serial killer.
Like, yes,
it's much different things. So I'm assuming the truth is going to come out at some point.
It has to. But if some man is like, no, I can't, my past, I'm not going to be like, forget about it. You're cute. You've got nice hair. Let's go.
Have fun while you can, but then, like, go back and have the conversation.
Yeah, because he might be a murderer. Jeez.
Keep your eyes open for the murderers.
Yeah, seriously. Keep your eyes open for the murderers. I'm saying this to myself. So when Joe returns to his apartment, guess who's there? It's Reese. And now he wants to kill Kate's father.
Yeah, he frames it up like, the only person who is left on my list. Like, this is the grand finale.
He's backing my opponent in the campaign. So he must go.
So he must go, and it's Kate's father. So this, again, is where this is true, like, if there was no Reese, this would be true Joel Goldberg behavior, right? Yes. Like, he would say, oh, your dad's in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me take care of that for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is really interesting to me. I'm really, like, the whole Reese Joe thing is really intriguing. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the next 4 hours when I finish the show.
Yeah, exactly. We'll probably both finish it tonight. All right. I want to remind everybody, unless you have anything else to talk about from this episode.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm. I want to remind everybody of our death draft, which you and Adam, different Adam than one on the show, thank God. Thank you for filling in, Adam, and being a guest here when I was unable to be here. I want to remind everybody about the death draft that happened. So yes. Would you mind filling us in?
Sure. So again, thank you to Adam for joining us on the pod. Last time we decided we were going to do a death draft and we picked 5 characters each. Mm-hmm. And we will get 1 point if the person is killed and 1 point if the person is a killer. So it's a killer to be killed draft. LT, you can just join my team.
I was just going to join your team anyway. Yeah. We think so similarly. So
join my team.
Yeah.
So Adam has Kate, Reese, Adam, Joe, and Marianne. And we have Nadia rolled Lady Phoebe. So close. She was so close to being like on either side of this. She could have been killed or she could have killed Dawn in this situation.
She could have.
Sophie and Blessing, who we didn't see at all this episode, so they could already be dead.
About Blessing. They had one black woman with braids and they were like, that's all we can do.
She was mentioned.
Yeah.
But she was not there.
Yeah. She's a skinny legend, apparently.
Apparently. So as it stands, we're still at nil-nil here on the good old killer be killed.
Mm. That keeps it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. So we'll have a final total for you, I guess, on the spoiler pod.
We will on the spoiler pod, which is coming up very soon. What are you looking forward to happening in the next 4 episodes, Marissa?
Let's figure this Reese and Joe stuff out.
Yeah.
Like, get that away. I also would like to know what Nadia's true motivations are.
Yes.
I need Lady Phoebe to not marry Adam.
Yeah.
I need Adam to start taking some responsibility for his life. And then I kind of need, like, the friend group to dissolve. That's what I got.
Okay.
What about you? What are you looking forward to?
I want to know whether or not we're dealing with a case of erotomania on Joe's end, because that word was used, as you pointed out earlier, twice in this episode.
Do you think it's him, or do you think, like, other people around him have it? Do you think it's, like, a multiple? Like, there's a epidemic of erotomania.
It's sweeping the nation.
We have it. Do we have it? I don't know.
Maybe.
For Joe. For the show.
For the show, Joe. What else do I want? I want my theory to be proven correct.
Which
that,
one? You have a lot.
Reese and Joe are the same person.
Gotcha.
And that all the sleeping and waking up is really just Joe taking out Reese's political oopsies. And I would like to see what happened with Marianne for real.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, did she really make it away unscathed, or does she have the same fate that every woman seems to have that falls for Joe? And finally, is Kate more involved in this whole murder scheme and plot than we maybe thought?
Killer Kate.
It's a good name. I love it.
Oh boy. Yeah. There's a lot of things. I mean, again, I'm back in it after talking about it for 3 weeks. I'm still in it and excited to see how the season ends. So yeah, that'll be our next pod.
It's gonna be so fun, I think.
I hope. It'll be fun with us, but hopefully, like, the content will be good.
I hope the content will be good. I think that with this episode, they really did pick it up a little bit, you know? Yeah. Like, this was a good episode.
This was the most, like we said, like, the most you-esque that we've seen all the time. And, you know, in our feedback show, we did talk about how Penn said that, like, the last half is, you know, much different than the first half. So if this was just the build-up, I think we're starting our engines here and we'll see where we go.
Yep, exactly. So please keep it locked here on our postshowrecaps.com/upodcast feed, where we have all of the goodies for you, including a show that's coming up where we will talk about full spoilers for the last 4 episodes of the season and the entire season as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully there'll be some season 5 announcements sometime between now and then, just because I need to know if this is, you know, if this is the end. It changes how I look at the whole the series.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we need to know whether or not there's going to be a season 5.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Marissa, why don't you tell the people all the things that you're up to?
Oh, hello, good people. I am also talking about a number of other TV shows, one of which is Dear Edward. I'm covering that show with Jason Reed. It is on Apple Plus. It is a griefy family show.
It's so sad.
So if you feel like being in your feelings, Jason and I are here for you. We got some tissues. You can head on over to the Dear Edward podcast here on Post Show Recaps. I'm also covering Daisy Jones and the Six with Sarah Ferguson, getting in some 70s vibes. You know, it's a lot of Almost Famous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that thing
behind
you do,
the music.
A lot of behind the music.
We could make a good thing bad.
right? See, we got some singing this one. So we're covering that. That comes out every Monday here on Post Show Recaps. And then, you know, March is madness. Yeah. So
lousy smart weather.
There's a lot of television to be covered here, and I will be popping up on a at least one of their plays, but I won't tell you what. But if you want to know, check me out on Twitter at MarzBars, MarzBrs, and you'll find me on something else later in the month and maybe some other podcasts some other time. There's, like I said, there's just a lot happening.
There's
a
lot going on.
We will get there. That is what I am up to. LaTanya, I know I'm not the only one podcasting here. What do you got?
The We Got Y'all crew is your connect to Snowfall, the final season. We are talking it up. I'll be making my triumphant return back to the program this week to talk to Mari and Chappelle about just an excellent season of television so far. I am doing Versus right now with Josh Wigler, and we are talking about Station 11 versus The Last of Us. I know, it's just all tears. Like, I teared up talking about next week's episode, like just pre-crying for what was coming.
Station 11.
Yeah, of Station 11. We have another Versus that we're going to bring your way that's coming up later on in the month of March. But I can't remember whether or not I already told you all what it was about, so I just won't say it. We're going to do an official announcement on the Versus podcast. We did a riddle about it on the most recent Versus. I am continuing in the Pedro Pascal cinematic universe and covering my sweet, sweet baby Grogu on The Mandalorian. We're doing the feedback show, me and DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick. Tonight is the premiere of Top Chef, apparently. So that's something that I'm doing that I completely thought started in April. I was just on the most recent episode, the season finale of Poker Face with Ariel and Grace. You can check me out there. I was also on Post Show Recaps Theater talking about women talking. I was a woman who was talking about women talking. And that's going to be part of all the Oscar coverage that we have building up to the Oscars, which are this weekend. Then I was covering another women-focused movie on Crime Scene over at RHAP, where we discussed She Said, which was one of my favorite movies of 2022 that I don't think got nearly enough love. So I had a great time with Mari Forth and Sarah Carradine talking about that. And Mari and I talking up what I think is a hopeful, at this point, newsroom podcast, because we both loved that show, and I didn't know that anybody else...
I love Newsroom.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know anyone else loved it. Everyone else complains about it.
Any Aaron Sorkin, except for Studio 60, I'm in.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then I think that's it.
Are you sure?
I don't know. No, I'm not. Oh, no. Actually, I'll be on the Succession podcast because we are doing a lead up to the new season. So we're covering an episode a day. And I believe that I'm going to be on the Dundee episode. So L to the OG is in my future. Very excited about
it. I did hear on TikTok that hot girl walks are out, but Kendall Roy walks are in. So, like, moody, put on your hoodie, put on your headphones.
Yes, That's the only kind of walking I know how to do, frankly. So you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, where I'm talking about all of those things and so much more. And you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222, where I will start posting more content, I promise. All right. We have a Patreon. I don't know if you all knew about that, but we do.
I knew.
All right. Well, we know.
But yeah, we know.
But you may not know.
But you may not know. Yeah.
And if you don't know, now you know that you can help support our work. Signing up makes it possible for us to bring you these podcasts each week. So if you're a fan of me and Marissa and you want more coverage of shows like you, then please consider signing up at any level. And when you do, you'll get some very special patron perks, including our lively discussion channel on our patron Discord. There are tons of people that are happy to discuss your likes and dislikes right there. So go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Support PSR and its podcasters. And you can check us out in our own feed. Once again, we're at postshowrecaps.com/upodcast. So plug that into your podcatcher of choice. Leave us those 5-star ratings and glowing reviews that we deserve. We want the ratings. Give us the ratings and send us your feedback. You can either tweet at us about how this season has gone. Please don't spoil anything for us, though, because we've only watched one episode. And you can also put it in spoiler tags on the Discord if you are a patron. So please do reach out to us. We want to know what you all think of this season. Thank you all so very much for coming on this journey with us today. And until next time, goodbye, you.